been seen without. Perhaps it was some kind of defence against the odours which were, in a way, his stock in trade.
"Evening, lads," he said amiably. "What can I do for you, as if I didn't know?"
"Do you remember me, Mr. King?" said William.
Harry nodded. "You're Lord de Worde's son, right? You put a piece in that letter of yourn last year when our Daphne got wed, right? My Effie were that impressed all those nobs reading about our Daphne."
"It's a rather bigger letter now, Mr. King."
"Yes, I did hear about that," said the fat man. "Some of 'em's already turning up in our collections. Useful stuff. I'm getting the lads to store it separate."
His cigar shifted from one side of his mouth to the other. Harry could not read or write, a fact which had never stopped him besting those who could. He employed hundreds of workers to sort through the garbage. It was cheap enough to employ a few more who could sort through words.
"Mr. King," William began.
"I ain't laugh, lads," said Harry. "I know why you're here, but business is business. You know how it is."
"We won't have a business without paper," Good Mountain burst out.
The cigar shifted again.
"And you'd be—"
"This is Mr. Good Mountain," said William, "my printer."
"Dwarf, eh?" said Harry, looking Good Mountain up and down. "Nothing against dwarfs, me, but you ain't good sorters. Gnolls don't cost much, but the grubby little buggers eat half the rubbish. Trolls are okay. They stop with me because I pays 'em well. Golems is best. They'll sort stuff all day and all night. Worth their weight in gold, which is bloody near what they want paying these days."
The cigar began another journey back across his mouth.
"Sorry, lads. A deal's a deal. Wish I could help you. Sold right out of paper. Can't."
"You're knocking us back just like that," said Good Mountain.
Harry gave him a narrow-eyed look through the haze.
"You talking to me about knocking back? Don't know what a tosheroon is, do you?" he said.
The dwarf shrugged.
"Yes, I do," said William. "There's several meanings, but I think you're referring to a big caked ball of mud and coins, such as you might find in some crevice in an old drain where the water forms an eddy. They can be quite valuable."
"What? You've got hands on you like a girl,"
said Harry, so surprised that the cigar momentarily drooped.
"How come you know that?"
"I like words, Mr. King."
"I started out as a muckraker when I were 3, said Harry, pushing his chair back. "Found me first tosheroon on day 1. Of course, one of the big lads nicked it off me right there, and you tell me about being knocked back. But I had a nose for the job even then. Then I—"
They sat and listened, William more patiently than Good Mountain. It was fascinating, anyway, if you had the right kind of mind, although he knew a lot of the story. Harry King told it at every opportunity. Young Harry King had been a mudlark with vision, combing the banks of the river and even the surface of the turbid Ank itself for lost coins, bits of metal, useful lumps of coal, anything that had some value somewhere. By the time he was 8, he was employing other kids. Whole stretches of the river belonged to him. Other gangs kept away or were taken over. Harry wasn't a bad fighter, and he could afford to employ those who were better. And so it had gone on. The ascent of the King through horse manure sold by the bucket, guaranteed well stamped down, to rags and bones and scrap metal and household dust and the famous buckets, where the future really was golden. It was a kind of history of civilization, but seen from the bottom looking up.
"You're not a member of a guild, Mr. King," said William, during a pause for breath. The cigar travelled from one side to the other and back quite fast, a sure sign that William had hit a nerve.
"Damn guilds," said its owner. "They said I should join the beggars. Me! I never begged for nothing, not in my whole life. The nerve, but I've seen 'em all off. I won't deal with no guild. I pay my lads well, and they stand by me."
"It's the guilds that are trying to break us, Mr. King. You know that. I know you get to hear about everything. If you can't sell us paper, we've lost."
"What'd I be if I broke a deal?" said Harry King.
"This is my tosheroon, Mr. King," said William, "and the kids who want to take it off me are big."
Harry was silent for a while, and then lumbered to his feet and crossed to the big window.
"Come and look here, lads," he said.
At one end of the yard was a big treadmill, operated by a couple of golems. It powered a creaking, endless belt which crossed most of the yard. At the other end, several trolls with broad shovels fed the belt from a heap of trash that was itself constantly refilled by the occasional cart. Lining the belt itself